are here at the 2017 GAC, hosted by the fine folks here at CUNA. And we are here with Todd Clark from Co-op Financial Services and Shazia Manis back in the studio lounge from TMG. How are you guys?
Doing great. Doing great.
Wonderful. Thank you for having us.
You're very welcome. Hey, we're talking about a celebration, a little 5-year anniversary between the two of your companies.
Yeah.
Can you tell us about what started the whole partnership and then how it's worked for both of you over the last 5 years?
Wonderful.
So, ladies first.
All right. Okay. Well, it's been an incredible transformative journey.
Okay.
I look at it, TMG's core mission is to create successful partnership.
Mm-hmm.
And since the co-op TMG partnership was solidified 5 years ago, I believe we modified our DNA and probably have evolved our business maturity and have transformed and created a better version of ourselves. And it's been incredible from just learning and the value that we have achieved for our clients, joint shared learning, many implementations. As we know, we have navigated through the very complex and ever-happening payments ecosystem, tokenization, EMV, Apple Pay. There's been so many things happen. We were able to really collectively learn from one another and really provide that for the industry as well.
I would say this partnership
is second to none because we can really bring all of the what we have within our respective umbrella and provide that one-stop seamless solution. So I cannot wait to see that in what way we step in. Obviously, I haven't had that longer of an opportunity to work with Todd since Stan's retirement, but I am sure that there's many more collaborative path that we will take in. So I'll have Todd speak for Co-op's incredible strength.
So I would say, I'm 7 months into the role, and I look at the partnership as, wow, that makes a ton of sense.
Yeah.
It runs out the product solution. Shazi and I met several months ago, for the first time ever.
TMG Summit.
That's right. My first day in the job, I met Shazia because my first day on the job was at the TMG Summit last summer. And so we didn't spend a ton of time talking then, but we did follow up very quickly after that. What's really great is to walk into this type of role and then to realize you have a partner on the other side who shares the same vision, who thinks about the credit unions and their membership the same way I do, and is excited about providing the products and services we do.
Right.
Great partner.
Gosh, you guys compliment each other the companies compliment each other very, very well.
They do.
So it's very cool to see. So, you guys, blockchain. Everybody's talking about blockchain. People are still confused by blockchain. People are running for the hills when we're talking about blockchain. But you guys have brought it to some clarity here. You guys co-sponsored a study on blockchain. So what recommendations can you guys provide with blockchain and kind of providing some clarity to the industry about it, because it's still a fairly new thing?
We commissioned the study because there were so many questions coming from externally. When are you getting into blockchain? What are you going to do with blockchain? How are you going to do it?
Right.
And coming from my position, former First Data and now at Co-op, I've seen blockchain. We used blockchain for certain applications inside First Data, so I'm pretty familiar with blockchain and how it works. In the credit union space, I don't know that I see an application for it just today.
Okay.
I think it's one of those technologies we should be following, we should be thinking about.
Yeah.
I think that the commission of the study came out, and maybe in 2020, 2025, there was probably going to be more and more applications around blockchain. But I guess my personal viewpoint is that until there's some regulatory rules around it, because right now the regulators are not saying we can use blockchain for anything, and there's a fiduciary, there's not really much use for us to do with blockchain.
So
it's a little too slow.
Right,
it's a little too slow for a card-based transaction processing solution.
Yeah.
Simply because it just takes several seconds to settle the transaction, several minutes sometimes to settle a transaction, because it goes out to so many nodes and points and whatever. So the speed is going to have to pick up for it to be a card transaction. I think that potentially in contracts, in auto sales,
in
other assets, there's probably a lot more applications for credit unions. That's not particularly co-op space.
Right.
But we continue to watch it, we continue to invest money in it, we continue to have people stay on top of from an expertise standpoint.
Okay. Shazia, your perspective?
Yeah, no, I echo much of what Todd shared. I think I look at it any time a technology promises of transferring something from a physical state to a digital, it hops on an exponential curve. It's just a matter of time how much iteration would happen and in what way it will find that niche to go and dematerialize or demonetize. I think we are yet to see from TMG as well as, and I hear from Todd, we are collectively not only monitoring blockchain, I mean, there are many other technology, machine learning, you've got biometrics, you've got augmented reality. We are looking at all of those and we are trying to determine what is hype and what is market ready and what will really come in and solve a real problem for which the environment is ready and the pain point is there. So we're trying to really be reflective on where to make those bets. But that being said, we're definitely very much in tune. There's like collective, actually a combined product team is researching for viable use cases that we can really play. So it's not that we are not looking
credit,
at it.
If you're a credit union CEO or just an executive, I mean, your head has just got to be spinning with this type of stuff. I mean, how do you disseminate? I mean, like you said, what's from hype to reality?
I think that we view that as our role, right? I mean, that's why we're here.
A guidance.
Shaza came from a credit union, but I did not. I came from the payments world, and right. So it's great to have a payments expert that has a credit union background too.
Yeah.
But mine is all payments, and so it is. It's a lot of work.
It is.
It's a lot of work.
But hey, enough of that. Yeah. All right, Shazia, I'm coming right back at you here. With credit cards so popular, and why are they so popular with the payments competition heating up so much? We got Apple Pay, Samsung Pay, you got everything paid.
Of course.
Why are credit cards still so popular?
Well, I like to look at things very simplistically.
Yeah.
I mean, credit card, debit card, they're just like a means to an end, right? The payment factor, right? Either you have to have the money in your account, so you use debit card to pay for it, right? You gotta have the money, right? Or you gotta go loan it, right? That's where credit card comes into play.
Right,
these are just form factor.
Okay.
If you look at it, when the economy is stable, which we have seen, consumer confidence, lower delinquency, all of that factor, Americans love credit. I mean, we feel it works. You got the safety soundness and interoperability of the brand. I mean, Nielsen study, I think, released something. I mean, credit card continues to grow. 48% of the purchases or transactions were credit related and debit behind and cash went down. Americans love credit. That being also said, I mean, there's a loyalty and the reward factors comes into play. I mean, you're hearing about Amazon Prime's, 5% cash back, you got Chase Sapphire type of promotion. So top of wallet, there's a lot of right time, right offer that I was talking to you previously.
Yeah.
It's also an emphasis that is really encouraging consumers to use it in a seamless. And to your mobile point, if you look at Apple Pay, what sits behind Apple Pay?
Card.
Most of us, we put a credit card because I don't want to bounce a check with fraudulent charges. I mean, it's just a peace of mind. So I think this notion, maybe the card piece of it may be invisible, it may be more virtual, but the instrument of how you access funds to conduct commerce, to buy commodities, it is either your money you have or you don't have. So I don't think it's going to go away anytime soon.
That's interesting that you say that, Shazia, because every time I use Apple Pay, my card is now invisible. I don't even think about it anymore. But, there's still terminals where it doesn't work.
Yeah.
Come on, Apple, up to it. But
then you have the card. You take it out.
Oh, hey, there's, San Diego County Credit Union. Boom. All right. That's good. So that's an interesting So that's why you got to get
Because women, we do the majority of the purchases in the household, right? So I can tell you that's just how my mind works.
Well, I just thought it was really interesting how you brought that. It's a great point. Todd, do you want to add anything to that? Or?
Well, I think that what Shazia said is exactly right.
Yeah.
I mean, the reason that credit cards are so popular is because consumers love them. And so as long as consumers continue to like them, I think we've got a really good business.
We do.
Sometimes we like them too much. That's we got to reel it back in. That's another show.
But this is America. We don't tell people.
No, not at all. Not at all. Hey, John, from a company called Early Warning Digital Networks called Zelle. Can you tell us about what's going on with this?
Yeah. So we announced back in the fall that we've entered into a partnership with Zelle. Zelle is a group owned by the 15 largest financial institutions in the country, and it's smattering of other folks.
Okay.
The goal is to get together to put together a real P2P network that everybody's already on file. And so if I need to give you $10 because you you mowed my lawn or whatever the case may be, I mean, that seems like a strange. That's a pretty low price.
I think I pay
50. So. But if I need to do that, then I have to ask for your mobile number, and I can send you money, and you don't have to register. The money just flows because you're already on file.
Is it kind of like a cash type thing?
There's several like versions of P2P out there.
Okay.
So Square Cash, Venmo, those types of things.
Yeah, yeah.
But if you send me money on Venmo, I have to go through a registration process. And so what the banks and Co-op and Fiserv and a couple of others are doing is they're pre-populating all of those things and making the transaction easier. So pre-registration is sort of the big win here.
Okay.
And I think when they hit the market officially, it's going to be 94% of all the DBAs in the country will be included.
Yeah. You're so right. Oh my gosh. All right, I'm going to wrap up here because you guys have busy schedules as well. So working together, obviously you guys have a great partnership, 5 years, and we're talking fraud here. We talk about fraud. We've all talked about fraud. How do we minimize the fraud thing? Gosh, it's this thorn in our side right now.
Well, I'll take it. Well, first of all, I think analytics, machine learning, along with really understanding the behavior, rules, and fraud strategies will continue to be a focus. We absolutely have to use a consultative lens. It's a relentless evolving discipline at all levels. I mean, I'm very proud from TMG. Last year, we saved our clients $66 million in potential fraud losses. Actually 65% increase from the previous year. We take a very consultative approach. When we set up, we understand, we monitor, we do routine, actually every month, a fraud analyst goes through the portfolio, we set the rules. We're also looking at some fraud analytics products that's gonna sit in front of our IVR, because we have seen surge in account takeover fraud. So we are going to analyze the calls that are coming in, if it's coming from Russia, Ukraine, or wherever, we're gonna go ahead and flag them and then bypass the IVR and have those calls be authenticated with more out-of-wallet type of difficult questions.
Yeah.
We're looking at 3D Secure Level 2, like 2.0 solution to curb the card-not-present fraud. And yet, like I said, it is all about continue to stay on top of the game, studying, researching, exploring the deep, the dark web, or the deep web that is out there.
The dark web, yes.
And figuring out what's really happening there. And we have fraud analysts, that's what they do, day in and out. And it's going to be a continuous journey.
It seems like a whack-a-mole game to me. Yeah. You know, you hit one thing and then it pops up somewhere, because the whole EMV, you know, it's semi-solved the whole card at the
card not present. Yeah.
Now it's moved to a card not present. Todd, do you have anything else to add?
I think that is, Shazi talked a lot about the card business. $11 billion was the industry level of fraud losses last year. We declined $120 billion in transactions trying to stop that $11 billion in fraud.
Goodness.
So that's $120 billion in actual commerce, actual income, not the $120 billion, but the percentage, the 2% or so, is actual income that the credit unions and the banks passed up on.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the game here is about approving as many transactions as possible. The one thing I think that's probably important to know for our customers anyway is that for the first real time, we are now starting to interact and share data back and forth between our fraud groups. And so what Shazi and I have done recently is we really started to enhance the partnership. Shazi and I now talk once a week, and our fraud teams are starting to talk on a regular basis. We're going to participate in group sessions with our mutual customers and make sure that we're giving best practices out to the industry.
Guys, I think that's a great message to end on. Thank you so much.
Absolutely.
Congratulations on your 5 years hanging out. Shazi, always a pleasure.
Pleasure to see you again.
Thank you very much.
Thanks.
Appreciate the time.
Uh-huh.
Keep up the good work, guys.
All right.